Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues. I would just say our popcorn here at AFA has to be among the best in the country.
You got my vote on that.
You're
perfect,
you guys
combination.
Agree with me?
Just enough flavor,
yeah.
Just enough salt.
Right. And you can't overdo that. You don't want to have too much flavor, and you don't want to have too much salt.
Yeah.
So in Tupelo here in Mississippi have a restaurant called the Neon Pig. And some food critic did a survey of the whole entire country and found out that the Neon Pig has the best tasting hamburger in America. I've had it and it is very
delicious,
good.
Yes.
So now we can add popcorn.
Well, I mean,
commercial for the Neon Pig.
Yeah,
by the way.
It's free.
Yeah.
I would say, the popcorn is, I don't know what brand it is, but.
The only thing that could be better is if you added a bacon flavor to it.
And yeah, true. Bacon-flavored popcorn. You're on some, Ed. If you create that, I think you and I could retire early.
We could retire.
There.
That's right.
If we wanted to.
Yeah, right.
So let me tell folks that our tours are coming up this summer. Well, June and September. And we've got two tours. We call them Spiritual Heritage Tours. My wife and I host, along with Stephen McDowell. And if you want to join us to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, that's one tour. And then the other tour is Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown as we look at early American life and history there. Then if you want to go on one or both of those in June and September, all you need to do is go to our website and read all about it. All the information is there, the itinerary, the cost, the hotels, what all we do there, all the Q&A. So go to the website, spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours.com, and check out all the information there. If you want a brochure sent to you, it's a small brochure, and there's nothing more on the brochure that's on the website. But if you're the kind of person that wants something in your mailbox to look at, then you call us at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your address. And we will send you the D.C. and Williamsburg tour brochure. All right, Steve, what do you got, my friend?
Good morning, everybody. I'm watching right now in the Senate the impeachment thing is going on, and it's been bump and circumstance and reading off of a lot of stuff. It sounds very formal. Right now, Adam Schiff, what the Senate has done is they have just received the House managers of impeachment, and it was a very formal thing, and now the Senate is hearing from Adam Schiff about what he intends to do. This has been a bit of a show. Those that believe that this is not a serious effort to impeach the president, but it's rather
Ed and I went off on that last hour.
Well,
we did make fun.
There's some things I'd like to somebody else went off on it. I'm going to get to that in a second, but. Marsha Blackburn this morning, I believe it was on Fox and Friends, made a really good point.
She's a senator. From Tennessee.
Yes. There are four senators who are going to be sitting in as jurors in this impeachment process that are running for president. Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Amy Klobuchar, and we all forget about Michael Bennett, senator from Colorado, who's still in the race, although not getting any traction. She has some interesting thoughts about this. I want to play clip 5 for you.
Their day job is a senator. Their night job is going out and running for president. So they should recuse themselves. There is precedent for individuals seeking to be recused or should have been recused. These individuals right. should say, look, we're spending millions of dollars to defeat this guy, and we don't want him to be president. And I do not think it is possible for them to fulfill their oath of impartiality if they right. are going to be running against him.
You sent that around, Tim, and you wrote on the email, brilliant. And I think this is brilliant. I will say this, though, just a little bit of an argument with the senator, Senator Blackburn, is her argument is that these four senators who are running for president should recuse themselves because they clearly cannot be impartial as jurors in the Senate. I think all the Democrats ought to recuse themselves. I don't think any of them. With the exception of possibly two, we mentioned Joe Manchin of West Virginia and maybe Doug Jones of Alabama. I don't think any. Well, I'm tongue in cheek.
It would make for a very quick trial.
Well, her argument is worth considering. I don't think any of these Democrats running for president will recuse themselves because they're rabidly anti-Trump. She's saying, listen, if you're supposed to be an impartial juror, that's what we're having is a trial here, and you're raising millions of dollars to defeat the fellow that we're going to put on trial. In other words, how can you be impartial?
You'd gain an advantage. You would increase your odds of winning the White House
yeah.
if President Trump is out of office.
Yeah. Hey, that's a very compelling argument to make. So I don't know. They won't, but it's a very compelling argument to make. Seems to me, in the name of fairness, and of course, the Democrats aren't interested in fairness right now.
Well, it's just like in the Supreme Court when they were going to make the decision on the Obergefell decision, which resulted in 2015 with the legalization of same-sex marriage. You had two of the progressive Supreme Court justices who had actually performed same-sex weddings.
Before they were legal, I think.
But no, they were legal in certain states. Okay. They performed same-sex marriages, so you're telling me you're going to be
impartial
on the case that involves whether or not
yeah.
the same-sex marriage should be yeah. legal? So this is typical for the left. Meanwhile, you have someone like Jeff Sessions who recused himself from the Russia investigation for next to no valid reason.
Yeah. All right, Steve.
I mentioned that there's a lot of pomp and circumstances. I know you guys talked last hour about the pens that Nancy Pelosi, for example, handed out
right.
after she signed these articles of impeachment.
The pens, P-E-N-S?
Yes.
Okay.
And they marched them over to the House. It was all like in a row on silver platters in a blue folder. And Mitch McConnell had a script that he read from. Greg Gutfeld, who is one of the hosts on Fox News of The Five, which airs
at
5 o'clock Eastern, he
had a classic rant.
He ranted. He went off, and he expressed some anger. And there's a bit of anger in what you're going to hear about that whole. He's upset that people are actually taking this impeachment thing seriously because it's a sham, he says, and that they, as a media, are forced to take it seriously. He's kind of upset that The Five gets preempted half the time now because of live coverage of this, what he says yeah. is sham. Listen to what he says. And there's a little bit more anger in here than you're used to hearing on the show, but there's nothing objectionable. This is cut two.
The media controls the narrative, okay? Look what happened to The Five, right? You know, we had they put the money in the jukebox, we got to dance. Number two, the Dems have been, in the media have been working on this for 3 years. So this ain't a moral cause. This was a political vocation meant to unseat an election. Number three, they don't hate Trump, they hate you. He's a proxy for you because you voted for him. They think you're a bunch of rubes because you didn't listen to the media. This is their revenge. And last but not least, you got to store all that anger. And when this is over and when they lose, because they will, you got to rub their noses in their loss till the day they retire.
He's a little worked up, but I tell you, he speaks for an awful lot of people that are, you know, think that this is, why are we doing this? It's been a setup from the beginning.
Yeah, he normally is kind of jovial, and he can be sarcastic, of course.
Right.
But he's usually good-natured about it. That is more anger than I've seen in him ever.
Yeah.
Hey, we got to get to this Elizabeth Warren v. Bernie Sanders.
Let's do that.
This is fun stuff right here.
This is from the debate.
So
set it up for us, Steve.
All right. So there's been a little bit of a feud between Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders a while back, kind of leading into this last debate that they had. Elizabeth Warren said that she had a meeting with Bernie Sanders earlier before they all declared for president, where she says Bernie Sanders didn't think a woman could be elected president, and she says as a way to demean her and get her out of the race.
This wasn't recently, though. This was
2018, I think.
Yeah.
So it was before they had declared, and they were all considering running for president. It came up at the debate where Elizabeth, the moderator, asked Elizabeth Warren, "What did you think?" And she asked Bernie Sanders, "What did you mean?" And she asked Elizabeth Warren, "What did you think?" Well, after the debate, Elizabeth Warren walks up to Bernie Sanders, who reaches out his hand to shake her hand, and she just refuses. And then they had an exchange. I want you to hear the exchange post-debate, and then you're going to hear Dana Loesch talk about why it's a little hard to take one of those seriously. This is Cut 9.
I think you called me a liar on national TV. I think you called me a liar on national TV.
Let's not do it right now. You want to have that discussion, we'll have that
Anytime.
Discussion. You called me. You told me. All right, let's not do it now.
I don't want to get in the middle, but I just want to say hi, Bernie.
Yeah, good.
Let's treat this.
Okay.
It's so difficult, I think, for people to believe Elizabeth Warren because she's kind of like the Penelope character from SNL. She has to one-up everyone. She's made up all these weird stories for no reason. I mean, who lies about being the first breastfeeding mother to take the New Jersey bar? Or who, like, appropriates an entire ethnicity and lies about some of the work they've done? She's lied so much over the goofiest stuff in her life. It's kind of hard to take her seriously over something like this.
Yeah. Now, what's equally humorous about this is that nobody for an entire day, nobody knew what that exchange was after the debate, because the main microphones for CNN, who was hosting the debate, were off, and they were still on camera. Everyone could see that she refused his the offer to shake hands, because all the other candidates were shaking hands. And nobody could tell. And now CNN is actually being made fun of in the media because they have said they obtained the audio of the post-debate exchange. It was their audio. It was theirs to begin with. It was on secondary microphones, and now they're making it look like they did some journalistic work and obtained this audio. Well, it was your audio, so that's why we're able to actually hear the exchange.
One of the late night talk show hosts, and they rarely make fun of Democrats. They're too busy going after President Trump because they're politically driven. But I guess sometimes they something drops right in their lap and they can't help it. So set this.
This is Trevor Noah, who at Comedy Central. I think he does The Daily Show. I think
right,
and which we don't recommend, folks, because he uses foul language often, and so this is during the debate. There was a little bit of an argument between Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders after Elizabeth Warren claimed to be the only candidate on stage, only Democratic candidate on stage, who had beaten a Republican in the last 30 years. And so this is the exchange between Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders.
This is Trevor Noah's comment on that.
Trevor Noah's comment, and you're going to hear laughter because this is the audience reacting to the video that Trevor Noah is playing, and then he does a little riff at the end that's pretty funny.
It's like seeing R2-D2 and C-3PO become enemies. I mean, they have so much in common. They're both on the same side, they're both robots, and they both deeply regret appearing in the sequels. Yeah, so it's like, yeah, you're right. We should have quit after the third one, my friend. And to a lot of young Democrats, the beef between Bernie and Warren must feel like seeing your parents getting divorced, you know? Which is a situation that Bernie is too blunt to handle delicately. Can you imagine him? Be like, Daddy, is it my fault that you and Mommy don't love each other anymore? He's like, well, we were happy and then we had you. You do the math. You know what it felt like? It felt like we were watching an old couple fight in a diner. That's what it looked like. You know, it was just like, I thought you said you were getting an appetizer. Yeah, I am. I'm getting soup. That is an appetizer.
No, soup is a side.
That wasn't the whole clip, but anyway, it was pretty funny stuff.
Yeah, people can search for it. What's the whole clip? But that last part about soup is an appetizer. But it was an awkwardly funny moment for Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, because somebody's not telling the truth, or either there's some misunderstanding.
Well, the part that we didn't hear was she said, "I'm the only one to beat a Republican in the last 30 years." And Bernie Sanders said, "Well, I beat a Republican. That's how I got elected in 1990. And so I did beat a Republican." And she said, "Well, but that was 30 years ago." And he said, "Well, that's not important. So that was the thing before that.
And nobody else is saying anything. So you got people watching the debate, and you got all the other people on stage, including Joe Biden.
You could see Sanders. You could see Warren going.
Calculating it in her mind. I don't know. It wasn't a good moment.
No.
It wasn't a good night for any of the Democrats who are running for president. I still think there's a 5-10% chance that somebody gets called in to run for them at the convention. Maybe a bigger chance than that. A brokered convention, as it were. I'm thinking perhaps I mentioned this a year ago, perhaps the governor of California, Gavin
Newsom
would be a possibility. He hasn't. That's just out of thin air. That's my own. Because I'm thinking.
I think he definitely has designs on the presidency.
I was just thinking about a someone with he's the governor of the largest state, all right, and he now the Democrats are going to carry California anyway, but he could go unscathed in all these all this fighting going on between the Democrats, yeah. But there would be a lot of resentment among those who put their blood, sweat, and tears into the race, and then this guy gets in at the convention.
Yeah,
that's a hard pill to swallow, especially for the activist who will be at the convention. And I just don't see you see him pulling Hillary Clinton out of the, if she would even take that.
No.
I don't see it.
Before
Hillary
Clinton,
Bernie Sanders people they can't stand Hillary Clinton.
Before Hillary, they will pull Michelle Obama.
Yeah, I before this little dust up between Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, I thought it might be reasonable to expect that if there's no clear winner at the convention, they pool their delegates and they run as a president, vice president. You know.
Yeah, but then you got Biden polling above both those people.
Well, but not combined. If they
well, that's
if true. If they come out and say we're pooling, we're going to support each other, and I'm going to be president, he or she's going to be vice president, and you get enough votes on the second or third ballot. I don't know. There's no telling, but the way the Democratic Party has set up these primaries, they're not winner take all. They are proportional. So if you win 30% of the popular vote in one of these Democratic parties, you get 30% of the delegates. It's going to be very hard for someone to pull away from the pack.
Between them, Sanders and Warren are polling at 35%. Biden is at 27%.
Yeah.
So they would.
So listen, it's going to be interesting to see what is going to come of this once very crowded field that's now down to four or five candidates. Was it six candidates that were at the debate?
Six were at the debate.
So
all white.
Yes. Well, not Elizabeth Warren. She's Native American.
That's true.
So
four whites and a Native American.
Yeah.
What has happened to the Democrats who champion diversity? That's what I want to know.
Right.
Where are they? Huh?
Yeah.
And who among those candidates are going to stand up for diversity and equality?
Well, especially if white privilege by definition means you are racist and you cannot understand the plight of minorities, then how will those Democratic candidates claim to be in favor of and helping minorities? I mean, by definition, unless you're going to say it's only conservative or Republican white people who have privilege.
Well, they didn't knock the minorities out of the Democrat race.
Who did?
Democrats.
Well, that's part of their dilemma.
Isn't it?
All right, next story.
We are just watching the House managers, Adam Schiff and company, walking out in their formal stuff after they've been received by the Senate. I'm wondering if this little appearance in the Senate by Adam Schiff will help his rating as far as how well-known he is, because there is some question about whether Americans know who Adam Schiff is. Even though he's been, you know, those of us who kind of live and die by this every day, we know. But there was a game show, Jeopardy, that is on, and it features some of the smartest people in the country a lot of times. I want you to listen to a question that Alex Trebek, the host, asked, and the answer. This was kind of telling. This is cut 15.
1/53 of California's House delegation is this Intelligence Committee chairman. His name is Adam Schiff.
Nobody knew. Nobody recognized his picture.
Well, that's very hard to believe, since most Americans have been glued to their televisions watching the House impeachment
process. By the way,
process.
We are on day number 79 since Adam Schiff last blinked.
Yes.
Maybe I'm the only one
who's noticed that.
That's keeping up with this, but I think it's very impressive. you know.
It is an accomplishment, 79 days without blinking. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's the picture. That's the image of them walking, slow walking in
Jerry Nadler.
That's a waddle. That's a waddle.
What
right
is he,
there.
About 5'1"?
And that's
300
a,
pounds?
That's a waddle.
Not anymore. He's probably anymore. Down to 240. Huh? He used to be 300 pounds.
Okay. Did he really?
Well,
Nutrisystem or what?
60 pounds. That's impressive.
Okay. Anyway. That's neither here nor there. It was just I was watching them walk across the walk across the way there, and happened to notice he is a very, very short man.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
I have a new hero.
What's that?
You know that one of my beats that I do for One News Now and American Family News is kind of look at media bias and how left the media is always, and get examples of that. I want to play you a 6-second clip when CNN's Manu Raju, who's a reporter at the Capitol, puts a microphone in front of Arizona Senator Martha McSally's face and asks him about what she thinks should happen in the Senate trial.
Asks her, right?
Asks her. Yeah. He asks her what she thinks should happen in the Senate trial. Listen to this.
Senator McSally, should the Senate consider new evidence as part of the impeachment trial?
Man, you're a liberal hack. I'm not talking to you.
Who is she talking to?
This is
CNN's Manu Raju.
Manu, you're a liberal hack.
He played on Johnny Quest, by the way.
Did he?
He's one of the characters on Johnny Quest.
Maybe.
Manu Raju. That's probably insulting to Indians.
Why?
From India everywhere, but... listen, so she said, you're a liberal hack.
I'm not talking to you.
Wow.
That was it's my favorite quote of all time.
And you know what? The news media has brought that kind of thing on themselves. It's kind of like them complaining about President Trump not holding press conferences anymore in the White House. And it's because they have been so abusive to the president's press secretaries and spokespeople, and abusive to the president himself, that he goes, all right, no more. And then they complain about it. Well, if you're going to be a liberal hack, you can't complain if conservatives don't want to talk to you, because you're clearly not an unbiased, legitimate journalist. You're a spokesperson for the Democratic Party. And what you're going to have is more and more senators and members of the House on the Republican side saying, you're a liberal hack, I'm not talking
to you. She didn't even slow down.
Yeah.
She just kept right on walking.
Yeah.
Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Ed, for your valuable contributions to this program.
Talking to Steve, or
I'm talking to you.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. I thought you were still talking to Steve.
No, I said thank you, Ed, for your valuable contributions to this program.
Thank you. I'm glad to do it.
I mean that with half my heart.
Yeah. I know when I know when you're being sincere.
thanks to Brent Creeley and Fred Jackson. And is it Trivia Friday tomorrow?
It is.
Okay. We'll see you back here then, folks.